Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Buckle up for another episode of Ghost Facers, a supernatural rewatch podcast. My name is Richard, and sitting shotgun as always, my brother in podcasting, Reed.
I don't understand. Does it need a new muffler?
What?
They keep calling us the Bang Bus, but as far as I can tell, they're just driving around looking to help innocent strangers.
Oh, no, no, they're not helping.
She's trying to visit her grandmother, and they're giving her a ride. This is wholesome content.
It's not. No, no, they're going to do something to her.
Hey,
well, with her.
Hey, how come the seats in the back have been removed? Oh.
Let's get into it.
Ghost! Ghost Facers! We're facing ghosts! We're others, we're not! We're ghosts! Ghost Facers!
Welcome to Ghost Facers. Today we're discussing season 6, episode number 10,
Caged Heat.
Yeah, my favorite Jamiroquai song.
What?
Oh, it's Canned Heat.
Oh, Virtual Insanity?
Virtual Insanity is other. Canned Heat is the one from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh,
that he does the dance to?
Oh, I was like, oh, I thought
dance,
that...
nothing left for me to do but dance.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Fair. I was just
that's
like...
Canned Heat.
Yeah. Oh, okay, no. This is Caged Heat.
There are three great Jamiroquai songs.
Okay, Virtual Insanity.
Virtual Insanity.
Canned Heat.
Canned Heat. Little L.
What's Little L?
You make me love you, baby, with a little L. That one?
No. Oh, I don't know that one.
That's a good one.
There's two well-known.
There's three. Oh, yeah. The guy that didn't know fucking Scarborough Fair is going to tell me which songs by which artists are known.
Cool, man.
Yeah. I can't remember if that was on this podcast or not.
I don't think so.
I don't even think it was on the main feed of the
No, album. I don't think so either.
Oh, well. Anyway, just know that I'm right.
Sure. Isn't that always your general go-to?
Yeah, it's on my t-shirt.
Yeah. Just always know just I'm know right. That was in
right.
Your vows, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I will love
in
you
in front
forever.
Of all these people. Just know
I'm right. You said I do already. No take backs.
Yeah. The ring is on. Activate locking mechanism. Spikes drove into her finger.
Oh my God. This is what love is. Feel it. Speaking of what love feels like, we've got a review.
Nice.
It's episode 10, not 15.
You can't.
Sometimes I can say things just directly at you. There happens to be mics running, but it has nothing to do with it. The review's from Mike.
Nice. Hot name, Mike.
Yeah.
You did it.
Hot review.
Kudos to your parents. Naming you Mike.
And fucking to do so.
Yeah, and for fucking. Thank you.
Nice. Mike goes to say,
"Hello, boys."
Oh, shit. Is Mike British?
No, it just says insert Crowley voice.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So I had to do that.
That was good. Yeah.
I congratulate you for you. Our podcast.
Yes, that's true. We are become podcast. Yeah.
You deserved it once again. And to be clear, hell yeah, we fans are thirsting over you too.
Oh, thanks.
It's hard. some parts, not two.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, nice name.
It's attack from Nisus.
Jesus.
I heard a thing yesterday on TikTok that was like, it's like, you know what? You know why ISIS is better than Jeffrey Epstein? At least their food is probably good.
Oh no. Good Lord. I was trying to make some sort of joke about we just got a grainy video, a grainy road heading video in. Yeah. That seemed too grim for me.
No.
From Nisus.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Although I guess it helps to only hear your voices.
I mean, yes. Nice. I wish I had a joke there, but
you're not wrong.
I'm a lot hotter orally. Ladies.
To the important things. I love that the king is back once more. Nothing makes my heart beat as fast like the incredible voice of my most beloved Crowley.
It's true.
Can't wait for him to finally show his mischievous and horrible sides. Pairing him with the alpha vamp made the episode 6-7 special in its own rights.
Yeah.
Made a fantastic sandwich today to enjoy the next episode and kind of miss the sandwich segment.
You and all of America and Canada.
Wait, you don't prefer the fuck you, Samuel Campbell?
Listen, like season 6, I know that segment's a letdown.
But after season 5.
Form and content blend together harmoniously on this podcast.
It was quite enjoyable, almost as good as the international titles.
I mean, now you're just sucking dick for no reason.
Sorry, Reed. But
if I was going to suck your dick over a good segment, it'd be...
come up with a thing. Or I'm gonna
I guess
be...
it is. No, it is international titles.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, it was that.
Not
never
just
mind.
the whole episode and all the information that I provide for that.
Yeah, it's not really a segment.
It's all segments.
No, it's just the episode.
But the
That's
best,
not why we're here.
But the best is still the lore segment. Sorry, Richard.
Booyah, baby.
Wow, that hurt.
Well, I mean... In fairness, and I got a good one for this week too. Oh yeah, strap in, baby,
because
we're gonna ride this lore straight to hell.
Oh my god, I hope it's not on Iridium because I've got a lot of notes.
I will say I did not make the lore about Iridium.
Wow, get ready then. Because
it's not out of character for me to be like the periodic table's pretty cool, but I did not do that.
Wow. Don't worry, you can still wet your whistle.
Oh, yeah, on the iridium.
That's right, on iridium.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
The rarest of hard metals.
Yeah, it also will make you sick. It's radioactive. It's not good for you. Prolonged exposure is not advised.
Is that also on your t-shirt?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, that's what I have to say. That's the reason I have to go door-to-door to all my neighbors.
Oh, prolonged exposure, yeah. I certainly horrified some people in the supermarket because I bursted out laughing when Reed threatened Richard to dare steal another one.
Oh, yeah. It was a dark moment for us.
Yeah, yeah. We got through it, though. But bringing it up, it really helps.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I remember how angry I was.
I always hold the moment dear when Richard was a little bit prematurely, well... There are many men with the same problem.
Oh, man, this review goes all over the place. Yep.
Thanks again, guys, for the hours of great content. Keep it up and carry on. Michael, still no Archangel from Germany.
Oh, from Germany.
Yes.
Oh, how convenient you leave that out until the end.
Surprise. So, this episode aired December 3rd. 2010.
Baby.
Oh, yeah. We're getting close to 2011. We're getting close to Christmas, baby.
Yeah, we're getting close to the 10-year anniversary of 9-11. what else happened in 2011? Green Lantern came out.
Great things happened.
The DC's in the new 52.
Oh, God. God, it was a... What a bad year. It's a bad year.
There's a lot that's good in the new 52. It's the wrong podcast for that.
So this episode was written by Jenny Klein and Brett Matthews and was directed by none other than the great Mr. Singer. Robert.
Oh, right.
Of the Robert variety.
Gotcha.
This episode was viewed by an estimated.
I did briefly for a second there forget he was a real person. And I was like, what is that? I was like, do you mean Jim Beaver? I was about to say.
You're about to correct me?
I was. Because as you know, I'm right.
Yeah, no, of course. And I am horny. We've both got our things.
I'm horny.
Yeah, that's the thing. We'll get t-shirts made for our individual fans. Yours says, it'll say, I'm with Reed. And on the back, it'll say, I'm right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine is saying, I'm with Richard. I'm horny. You decide which one you'd rather be. Would you rather be always right or always horny?
I mean, neither actually sounds like a good thing to be.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being cursed with infinite correctness. Let me tell you.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's no walk in the park.
And I would know because I'm always right.
And I would know, yeah.
Except for you wouldn't know what a walk in the park is. It would be nice if you got a few more of those.
Fuck you. You piece of shit. You son of a bitch. No, I only go through the park where they have those like trolley rides. Like,
well, you're actually legally
old-timey horse-drawn carriages.
I was just going to say, you're also legally not allowed in them anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I always build them near schools. That's not funny.
So, the episode was viewed by an estimated 2.
Oh, back up.
0.15.
Because we were like 1 point viewers. Something.
2.15, yeah. So we're like 194 or something. We're
right.
2.15. We're getting back up.
We saved it.
Yeah, thank God. Good
we're
going
to get a couple more seasons.
I think we might. We'll see.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Let's watch the promo for this week's episode.
All right, hit me. Some weak dialogue choices, but fine promo, actually.
Yeah, it works.
Not bad.
Yeah.
You know, we get to see like the kind of dungeon-y kind of prison. We get some like torture shots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fine promo.
It works.
Man, season 6.
I know. They finally figured out one component
of it. We're through the looking glass.
Yeah. All right. Well, time to go to everybody's favorite segment, international titles.
Well, second.
Fuck you. So the title of this episode is from, do you know what it's from?
Caged Heat? Well, no, I thought it was Jamiroquai, but I was wrong about that.
No, it's from the 70s exploitation movie Caged Heat from 1974.
Oh.
About a women's prison gone wild.
Oh.
Nice.
Nice. I guess.
They're going to be incarcerated.
I don't know, man.
Baby, we're back up. We've got 4 titles this week.
Whoa. So
that's 2 weeks in a row.
Caged Heat in English.
It's a movie.
Okay.
But kind of doesn't mean anything outside of that movie title.
Yeah, other than being hot.
And
a hot box.
Hell yeah.
Oh, ooh.
Also, yeah. Nice.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, 69, 420.
All right. So our first title is the Italian title.
Okay. That's going to be...
I will tell you, all these titles are bug nuts too.
Okay. This title is going to be...
Enough, barely anything to do. This one's probably the most, I think.
Okay. The most to do with it or the most bug nuts?
The most to do.
Okay. Then this one is, take off your clothes for torture.
Take off of your pants and a jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. What's my age again?
Yeah.
Not that album, but
at least it's not. Oh, what's a her age again?
What the fuck?
No, the Italian title is In Search of the Lost Soul.
Jesus. I mean, kind of.
I know. This is the most accurate.
Good Lord.
This is the most accurate of them all. By a pretty wide margin.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, technically.
Okay. So, the French title.
The French title is, strap yourself down.
Oh. No, that has way too much to do with it.
Oh, okay. It's the whoopsie-doopsie brother treasure hunt.
Yeah, how did you know? Weird that the whoopsie doopsie just translates to whoopsie doopsie.
Yeah, yeah. Love whoopsie doopsie.
Doopsie.
Yeah, doopsie. It's got the accent. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, the French title is Rest in Peace.
That could be any episode of Supernatural. There's fucking nothing to work with in there.
Yeah.
They've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Not that specific one, but like one that could apply to any.
Yeah, thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, all right.
Next, I really like this one.
Is this Germany?
Yeah.
There is a betrayal ahead.
No, this one's a lot more metal.
Oh, okay. King of Hell.
No, close. You got one word in there.
Oh, hell?
Yeah.
Rad as hell.
Yeah. No, think about a thing that Germany shouldn't be joking about.
Oh, like this prison is hell?
No.
Going to hell?
You getting closer? What would be a worse way to do a thing that would relate to something that Germany has done bad?
I don't know, man.
This is really bad.
They don't use the word Holocaust.
No.
Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah.
Hitler was right to hell. No, it's Express to Hell. Ding, ding, come on the train. Express to Hell.
You know, decades ago, there was a sort of... what would you say, a trend of using trains as a sort of metaphor in poetry? And why did we stop that?
Yeah. All aboard, whether you like it or not.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Oof. Mike, why would you do this? I assume it was you.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Yeah.
The last title.
Hungarian?
Of course it is. It's fucking... It's one word.
Oh, okay.
And it's nuts. It is. I can't think of how it could possibly be about this episode.
Penetration.
No, because at least that would maybe be like, oh, they're getting into the prison.
Yeah.
No, the Hungarian title this week is...
Grandpa.
No, that would still have more to do with
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah.
No, this week it's Association.
What? What? Associate? Fucking what? That feels like a mistranslation back to, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like the word must be about, like,
relating to people,
relationships, or like, all, like, you know, the tangled web we've like, something to that effect, but just association. It's very funny. Yeah, Jesus, Hungary. Good Lord.
Okay, so no featured music this week.
Okay.
The TV Guide describes this episode as, Meg kidnaps Sam and Dean to force them to reveal Crowley's hideout. They promise to help her if she will torture Crowley to gain information about how Sam can get his soul back. Yeah. Not too bad. For them, not too bad.
No real, like, reveals in there. That is essentially the plot of the episode.
Yeah.
Interesting. Way better than last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
You might actually still want to watch this episode.
Yeah.
But before we talk about that episode, we better open up Dad's journal and learn about some of the real world lore.
Yeah, let's see what the lore says about the pizza delivery man trope.
Wait, really?
Yeah, baby.
That's the monster this week?
Oh, it's a monster, all right. I'm assuming.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of had to because I was watching this episode and I was like, it's this episode.
Yeah.
And I was just, I literally couldn't focus on anything else. So,
I mean, I get it.
I'm going to do something a little unconventional here, which is...
I'm going to watch some porn.
We're going to watch porn together. Yeah, it's only a little unconventional, but...
yeah, we usually don't talk about
it. Well, we usually don't use my computer for it.
Yeah. But mine can't seem to access it anymore.
No, what I'm going to do is actually I'm gonna read an excerpt. I could like just re-discuss it, but most of the interesting information was from this article I found called "Did Someone Order a Pizza?" It's from Eater.com.
Nice,
and it's a
Eater. I barely know
the subtitle is a history parentheses, though no, not an oral one, of pornography's most persistent narrative cliche.
Did you write this?
It's, like, it's by E.J. Dixon. It's exactly the kind of article I would write.
Yes.
Like, way
tonality.
Too, way too in-depth about a very specific kind of pop culture thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to read the whole article, but there is...
I can only ever get through the first few minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to do what,
skip through the bits.
I'm going to do what I normally do. So I'm going to fast forward to the bit
good,
I need.
Yeah, to the good
I mean,
parts.
What?
Yeah, whatever gets us to finish this article. Can we actually open up a few other tabs?
Yeah. Well, I do actually have some other articles open just in case in case I get bored.
Yeah.
Fuck, this isn't an incognito browser.
Anywho, yeah, your computer's toast.
Anywho. So this is part 3, extra pepperoni, extra sausage. 100% a thing I would write.
I fucking love this.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Strap in.
No. Oh, no.
You went to adjust your belt.
I was taking my pants off. Oh, I'll strap in. All right.
It's like easy.
Strap in and strap on.
All right. Here we go. The pizza delivery narrative is actually a relatively new thing in the many thousand-year-long history of pornography.
Sure.
Of course, because it's pizza delivery.
Yeah, back in ancient China, they had the pizza delivery, man.
Yeah. So this guy who from Vinegar Syndrome, which specializes in cult films, he explains that in the history of erotica, the conceit of a delivery person showing up at a woman's door and exchanging goods for sex is less than a century old.
Wow.
The trope's roots were established in pornographic stag films, which were short amateur clips that portrayed hardcore sex in the first few decades of the 20th century. They were just like little loops. They had to get in quickly with like, so there was like
nice.
No plot. It's like, what's a setup? And it's like delivery person, someone answers the door, you start fucking.
Sure.
Like that's kind of it. So, yeah, stag filmmakers often faced a problem. They needed to come up with a compelling reason for the two people in front of the camera to have sex that wouldn't take too much time to establish. So, you know, that's where delivery boys, pool boys, stuff like that all comes from. To further heighten the erotic stakes, the male characters were usually poor or working class, and the female characters were much wealthier. So, as the century progressed, the profession at the center of these Ring the Doorbell films evolved accordingly. In the 50s and 60s, door-to-door salesmen were a popular character choice.
Of course.
Particularly if they were selling items that could be interpreted as vaguely sexual.
Sure.
Women's underwear, for instance, or, as this article says, hair dryers that doubled as dildos.
That's a thing?
I don't know.
Weird.
So, the pizza delivery boy made an occasional appearance in 8mm loops throughout the 1970s. But it wasn't until 1975, 14 years after a fledgling pizza delivery chain called Dominick's launched its pioneering pizza delivery service. Dominick's later renamed itself Domino's.
Whoa!
Domino's Pizza is like kind of implicated in the pizza delivery porn trope.
Is that just because they started pizza delivery?
Basically.
Yeah,
they started it and then it became like, oh, there's like... You could put your dick in a pizza.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that the pizza. I think it's
anywho,
more about somebody coming to your house, but
anywho.
Step one, put your dick in.
So, hang on. Carter Stevens' Hot Oven, a slapstick comedy featuring commercial actor turned porn star Eric Edwards, told the story of a Lothario who makes a bet that he can make it with all of his female customers in a 2-week period.
Wow.
According to Stevens, the film's plot was a result of pure logistical convenience. Quote, the whole reason we did the Pizza Boy plot was that we had an Italian restaurant that was available to us to shoot in, so we wrote the script around the location.
Wow.
Okay. At the time, Stevens didn't think there was anything particularly revolutionary or subversive about it. It was just another fuck film. but the movie was made during what's considered to be the golden age of porn, and filmmakers were focusing more on plot and character development than ever before.
Oh, the good old age.
So the pizza delivery trope provided ample opportunity for creative sexual scenarios, as well as puns. So a few years after Stevens released Hot Oven, filmmaker Bob Chin upped the ante with Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, a higher budget and arguably more sophisticated take on the motif.
How sad are you that you couldn't have written in that era for porn?
I mean, I'm too high concept for porn. We've established this. In Chin's vision, the traditional genders of the delivery person and the recipient are reversed.
Hell yeah.
In the movie, pizza toppings are used as code for various sex acts. Bell peppers are lesbian sex, for instance.
What?
While extra cheese hold the anchovies is cunnilingus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And I just want to end off with...
you just want to finish it off?
I just want to finish on how this article starts.
Oh, whoa.
Which is, let's go deliver this big sausage pizza, the man says. He looks like he's in his early 20s with a close-cropped haircut, khakis, and frat boy sneer, like a cleaner-cut version of a young Dave Grohl. He arrives at the house, pizza box in hand. The door is opened by a dark-haired girl in a pastel pink top and tight jeans. What's up with the camera, she asks. A reasonable question, considering she doesn't appear to have had any chance to sign any sort of image release form.
Wow.
It's a customer service training video, the guy says. Okay, did you get my cheese pizza, she asks. Cheese pizza? You ordered a sausage, right? He says. I hate sausage, she responds. Then the article just goes, apparently she doesn't hate it that much. About 30 seconds later, the man opens the lid of his box to reveal a pizza, his erect penis poking out of a hole cut in the center. Rather than slamming the door in his face, calling the police, or at the very least, the man's supervisor, as most customers ordering a pizza would likely do, the woman doesn't miss a beat. She immediately starts fellating him, enthusiastically bobbing up and down on his member. The man looks right at the camera and winks.
Nice.
That's the pizza delivery trope in porn. Vaguely implicated Domino's Pizza, because they invented pizza delivery as like a ubiquitous thing.
Maybe that's why they changed their name.
Well, it used to be Dom and Dick's, and then they were like, can it be Dom and Nick's?
It was Dominatrix. Then they were like, Dom and Nick's.
Domino's is a relatively respectable pizza chain, but I could see Papa John's launching a sleazier version of delivery service. Maybe that's the day of reckoning that Papa John's was warning us.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there we go.
There you go.
This is the farthest we've gotten from a monster.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God. I still think you should have gone with a periodic table.
Was this the farthest or was lawn care the farthest?
Fair.
It's season six. Anything's on the table.
All right. Well, with that, let's get into the plot of the episode.
Sure.
So we begin with a then. We've got, slightly sad because of last week's episode.
Yeah. Sad news to consider that the first actor that played Meg has died.
Yeah.
But we get the Meg we like better.
I know.
I shouldn't have said it like that, but I'm Meg 2.0, baby.
Yeah, and if one of them had to...
No. But...
That's just the way
anywho.
It is. We get Meg, in reintroduction to Meg, we've got shapeshifters, we've got alphas.
Yeah, we're kind of catching up on a bunch of the loose threads
this season of loose threads.
Yeah.
We get Crowley and his hunt for purgatory, and of course the need to get Sam's soul back.
Yes.
And that brings us to the episode, which starts with Crowley torturing an alpha shifter who has taken the form of Crowley.
Yeah, because at first
Crowley on Crowley action.
You just see Crowley tied up.
Yeah.
And then Crowley comes, walks around behind him, and you go, oh, I get it. He's a shifter.
Yes, absolutely. Hot Crowley and Crowley action. It's
the alpha shifter from a few episodes ago.
Yes.
And Crowley's doing, like, I want purgatory. I know you know where it is. He goes, why would I know? I just know we go there where we died. He goes, you know where it is.
Yeah.
And he says, like, I hope you appreciate the lengths I've gone to find something that will even hurt you.
Yeah.
And that's when he pulls out this knife, and he says it's made of iridium. Because for other shifters, we talked about silver.
Yeah.
But apparently for alphas, it's iridium, baby.
And I've got a lot to say.
Okay, well, let's see what the periodic table says about iridium.
So iridium is a very rare element.
Yeah.
It's brittle, silvery white.
Or like iridium, am I right? Sorry, go on.
Cool.
I'm going to have some of these comments as we go.
Yeah. This works great with my science buddies. It always reminds me of the Parks and Rec when he does all the accounting jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is kind of like that, yeah.
So, it's a brittle, silvery white metal similar to platinum. In fact, iridium is often found inside of platinum and has to be extracted from it. Iridium
Don't tell Doc Magnus. It's a super inside
cool.
joke. You got it, though. You like that
fuck
joke.
You.
It's a good joke. You fucking liked it.
So iridium is the second densest element, osmium being the densest.
Interesting.
And then iridium being the second.
Huh? I'm not dense.
Only tiny amounts of iridium can be found naturally on the Earth's crust. Most of the iridium on the planet came from meteors.
Sure.
Right.
While iridium is fairly rare, in 2009, the price was less than $500 OZT, about half the price of gold. Most iridium comes from nickel refining or from sedimentary layers from meteor impacts. It is frequently used to make alloys hard or heat resistant. Automotive spark plug electrodes are made from an iridium alloy.
Interesting. So on its own, it's brittle, but as an alloy, it actually makes things
stronger. Yeah, because it's so dense,
right?
But it's also fragile. But if you can
if you can bolster it with something else,
then it becomes super dense.
Interesting.
Cool.
I mean, this kind of is cool. fucking science is cool, man.
Sweet.
I'm tired of pretending it's not.
no longer.
You're not gonna hold me back anymore.
I wasn't trying to.
Well,
maybe you could try. God, this episode's horny enough. We do not need to do this.
No, we got time.
Okay, sure. Checking the... what do I have to get the babysitter? Nice.
Easy.
So it's a very horny episode. All right. So threatening... And I'm horny, so...
Famously.
Yeah. Threatening the Alpha for the location of Purgatory, but to no real avail.
Yeah, and he tries to even threaten, that there's a nursery in the prison. He goes, we got a bunch of your baby fucking shifters. I'll kill them all. The Alpha is like, do it. I'll make more.
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
Yeah. So, after a moment, the Alpha shifter tells Crowley to go ahead and, kill them. Enraged by this defiance, Crowley kills him immediately by cutting off his head with a machete.
Question.
Yeah.
Alphas are supposed to be tough to kill, impossible to kill.
I mean...
He holds up a tiny iridium knife, not a giant iridium machete, but he's like, this'll kill you. And then he just grabs a regular machete. It's like, we've been regular macheteing all kinds of monsters. It doesn't really make the Alpha seem like that much of a threat. That Alpha couldn't get they couldn't trank it. It's like, all they had to do was just treat it like a vamp. This whole time, three Campbells died the last time we saw that thing.
I think the thing is this is sort of always the case with monsters, which is there are
so
many ways.
I know we had the thing where it was you got with Bobby, the weekend at Bobby's, where it's you got to do this, you got to stab it 7 times with the Okami or whatever, and you just wood chipped it. But that still felt, I don't know, for some reason that didn't feel as glaring as the thing. The Alphas feel like it should be there's one way to get them.
Yes.
But no, that's not true.
It's no. It's the other stuff might, maybe they just immediately can heal, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get
it. But if you chop off its head, it's just the
It's just so funny to me that this group of professional hunters.
I know.
These people that know everything are like, should we try tranking it? And they go, I don't know, that's an unknown quantity. Should we cut off its head? He's like, that seems too easy.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even try to cut its head off.
It's true.
I mean, I also know they were trying to catch it.
Yes,
so that's
slightly different.
That's the other piece of that, but I kind of was like, oh, that's all right.
That wasn't that hard, yeah. True. And that's the cold open for this episode.
Yeah.
So we now cut to Dean and Sam, and they are still providing Crowley with monsters.
Yeah.
They're dropping off an Aruguru to a few of Crowley's demons.
Is it the Alpha Rougarou or just
We don't
Rougarou?
No, they don't actually say.
Okay, that was the bit I wasn't sure if we were meant to imply that it was
could
an alpha.
Be.
Not everything in the prison is an alpha, so it doesn't have to be, but I was just curious.
Because I think with Crowley, it's alpha is probably the best case scenario, but maybe it's a high up Aruguru or something. It's he's got a line in on somebody who may just bring him to the alpha.
It is funny with these other ones, though, too. I know all of the monsters, they've been propagating, right? They're preparing for something.
Yes.
But vamps, werewolves have a social structure.
Yeah.
Rougarou...
They're just,
don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are some of these monsters that, even djinn kind of have that, saw the djinn that were the children of the other,
totally.
But there's other monsters that don't have that. The idea that, some of those, what would this random, Wendigo know about?
No,
you know
totally.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's kind of funny to me.
So, after exchanging a few barbs with the demons, they head back to their base of operations, a dilapidated house.
Yeah.
Where Dean tells Sam that he's sick of working for Crowley, because it doesn't seem like he's getting anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Dean has been very impatient about this whole plan anyway, and Sam's like, but we gotta, it's the only plan we have right now, and I gotta get my soul back. And Dean's like, do you even want it back?
This is also where we get one of way too many for this episode bad rape jokes.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with this episode.
I think it's because this episode is both horny and more offensive than any of them have been in a while, and I think it's because it's in a prison.
So, yeah, I mean, like, lousy with rape jokes in this episode.
Yeah, he literally says, I have to take a rape shower every time.
Yeah, like, Dean is saying he feels dirty working for the... But it's like, there's so many other ways to say that.
Yes, goes, but also, then
but
he says...
Because also, then you're... that is not, like, in the parlance... as like a way to say
no.
You just feel unclean.
Nope.
So when he says that, you go, is Dean getting raped?
I know.
And then you quickly realize that's not what he means, but like, it's not like that is a problematic phrase that means the thing they want it
yes.
to mean. They're just, they've thrown it out. So it's
they're
not even,
making it
it's not
phrase.
Even like people say it. Like,
no, no,
they
no,
just
no,
like,
no.
no, you just, you're
they
combine, making it.
Yeah,
bad.
They also combine it with, well, I guess you just start holding soap on a rope.
Well, yeah, but that's like, Sam is responding
yes.
to the metaphor Dean
yes.
is using, but still not great. But like,
Jesus.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
and not the only one.
Yeah, because it's both. I mean, A, like I said, not with that phrase. That's not a phrase.
Yeah.
So you're just throwing it out there to throw it out there.
Yeah.
And two, you're equating something like horribly traumatic with something minorly inconvenient.
Yes.
Which is not the same.
Nope. No,
yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I needed to mention it, and I'll mention another one because they both suck.
I also like. I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch Supernatural. And I was like, oh god.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So while they argue, demons get the jump on them. So they're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're arguing inside the house, but basically, Dean turns around. Sam's gone. Dean goes to look for him, and then he gets knocked out
yeah.
as well. When they wake up, they're tied to the chairs, to two chairs, and
yeah.
who's there?
Oh, it's Meg, baby.
I have to say,
hell yeah!
God, she,
yes,
yeah.
would,
but
absolutely
also like
would.
In this moment too, like
yeah.
being tied to a chair and the way she's talking to them, I was like, yeah, yeah, okay,
yeah,
whatever you, yeah,
yeah. It didn't feel right watching this on TV, so I opened a browser. I open a bunch of tabs and then I put this scene on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So she wants to tell them. She wants them to tell her where Crowley is.
Yeah,
but they don't know, and Sam just laughs at her when she starts threatening.
Yeah, because he's like, she's clearly desperate. Crowley is obviously clearing house in
yeah.
terms of the people that were loyal to Lucifer. So there's obviously some like trouble brewing there. She needs us or
yes.
she would have killed us already.
It's interesting to see Dean be the one who's like, are you sure? And Sam's like, no, fuck this bitch. Like,
I mean, Sam is all, I mean, there's also that thing though too that like soulless Sam doesn't account for, which is like sometimes just enraged people make an irrational choice.
Yes.
He's right that she needs them, but he's being so like, yeah, you fucking stupid demon.
Yeah.
She could just kill Dean just to like,
prove a point.
Fuck this.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it'd be bad for her, but she'd do it because she's angry. Soulless Sam is maybe a little too cavalier with their lives.
I agree.
It's interesting, though. It's a good dynamic.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's,
yeah.
It's such a flip from early seasons.
Yeah.
She and other Lucifer loyalists are on the run from Crowley, who wants to be uncontested in his reign over hell.
Of course.
And Meg wants to find Crowley so she can kill him with the demon-killing knife, which she still has.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam makes a deal with Meg, though.
Yeah, he's just like, we'll get you Crowley, yeah. but then you torture information out of him. I need my... Well,
she does. He's
never mind
it.
What I need, but
yeah.
like I need something. And then he goes like, she could get it out of him, right? And Dean is like, yeah, she can. And we learn that she also trained with Alistair.
Totally.
We already knew that, and I forgot. I can't remember.
Dean is unhappy with this deal, but tells Sam that they'll kill. But Sam tells him that they'll kill Meg right after.
I think this is somewhere around here is where we get the thing that was in the promo where Dean's like, "We're working for demons now." Sam's like, "We already are."
Yeah, like this is at least we're in more control in this scenario.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And Dean is like, they're going to kill us for shit. And he goes, I know. That's why we're going to have, like, Sam's like, don't worry. I'm super duplicitous. I thought of all the angles.
Yeah. It's always that thing where Sam's always like, oh, this is what's happening because I would do that.
Yeah.
So Sam realizes that they'll need some help, though.
Yeah.
So he does a thing which doesn't make any sense to me.
Lazy praying, where he just kind of goes outside and looks at him and goes, but also, Cass, come down.
But also, he doesn't have a soul, so he's not supposed to be able to do that. Because remember, Sam was like, I've been calling him for him forever before Dean showed back up, and he was just like, oh, I didn't hear you. Like,
unless now that Cass knows he has no soul, he's like keeping an eye.
Yeah, maybe.
You could probably explain it, but you're right that that's, yeah, interesting. Yes, good point.
That's a thing I had a hard time realizing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's
no, that's a weird that thing. That is fair.
But he does literally just describe the
he's just like, yeah, he starts going like, we found this like gold box apparently in the war. Some guys tried to open it and it melted their face. We think it's the Ark of the Covenant. And Cass is like, I'm here. Where's the box? And Sam's like, you idiot.
It's crazy, this scene. Castiel shows up and he's like, I can't believe you fell for that. That was just was just Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And Castiel's like, I'm too busy with the war over heaven.
In the middle of a battle.
And Sam's like, I don't fucking care about you, your goddamn battle. You owe me. Which is crazy. And
I mean, the exact tone basically that Dean took with Cass, several episodes ago.
It's like though in this moment you're like, their war is fair. Like that, it's a real,
it's heaven.
Yes, yeah. It's a big deal. And the way that these guys treat that war, they're just like, oh, you and Michael are sad. Like, are you and Raphael are upset? Like,
oh no, little angel boy. Well, what about me and my petty grievance with my brother?
Crazy.
Yeah.
But then also Sam basically goes, if you don't help me, I'll hunt you down and kill you.
Yeah. He's like, I will kill you. And Cass is like, how? And he's like, I don't know, but I will figure it out and I don't sleep.
It's so fucking intense.
And, you know, he doesn't intimidate Cass, but Cass is very clearly like, you need some fucking help.
He says that. He's like, you need help. And he's like, I need your help. Insane.
I mean, it's a cool scene.
It is.
He just treated Cass like shit, though.
But it also, like,
it's a really one-sided friendship.
This is the thing that I think. Now, this is me.
I mean, Sam is also being soulless here, but Dean basically did this to Cass as well. It's a toxic friendship in this season.
This is a thing that I might just be like wildly speculating.
Okay.
But it is interesting because it's a thing with actors that I find sometimes that the roles that they play best are the ones that are closest to who they actually are.
So you wonder?
I wonder because I mean, and here's the thing.
Because he's so good at soulless Sam.
It's slightly substantiated by the fact that like, during this time, Jared Padalecki had a lot of issues with like getting in drunken fights and
you think that the aggression and that was kind of like in him in this era, so it was easy for him to channel.
I think he maybe has like a sweet face, which he's been fighting against to not have for the last few seasons.
Yeah, but he's got cum gutters that cut you deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
I fucking cut my throat with those gutters. Yeah.
What's your throat to? Oh.
Oh yeah. But I think that, like, he is... What?
I almost said something very dirty.
And that is?
My throat's a cum cutter. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm sorry. I said it was bad. I said it was...
Oh my God. But I do think that he's playing it exceptionally well.
I mean,
he's good at
playing.
We
weren't there
Sam.
And we don't know him, but it's as good a theory as any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Castiel eventually capitulates.
Yeah.
And tries to locate Crowley with a ritual. But it's funny because he shows back up and they're like, Dean's like, so you got him. That was easy. And he's like, yep, we're buddies.
Yeah. Sam is like, that's what friends do for each other. He's just fucking lying.
It's so fucking crazy.
And Cass doesn't correct him. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll do this ritual for you.
So,
and he's like, the ritual doesn't work. I can't find him.
Yeah. So the three of them then go to the Campbell compound to look for more information on the Crowley's location. They don't really even say it. They're just like, we have to go to another place.
We need plan B. And Dean's like, we have a plan B. And Sam's like, well.
Yeah, and at the compound, they suddenly encounter Samuel, because obviously...
A compound that I guess Samuel's the only one there anymore. Yes.
Well, because everybody else has died. Like,
I guess, but like that doesn't make his job working for Crowley any easier.
No.
It's just yes. him.
I mean,
but yeah, they're in his like fucking Faraday cage office yeah. that he's got there.
Where he can't figure out how to use a computer.
Yeah. Ah, damn it.
And Crowley.
AOL.com. Yeah. Siri. AOL.com.
Didn't have Siri back then.
Hmm. Well, that's why it didn't work.
Yeah, well, there you go. He was trying, they try to get him to help them find Crowley, and he refuses.
Right.
Dean asks why he won't help them and why he's been working for Crowley. He's like, that's the least you have to offer us is why you're being such a fucking dick about this.
Both Sam and Dean in this episode, for different reasons and in different, you know, I think earned character moments,
yeah.
are really leading on relationships that aren't there.
Yeah.
You know, that friendship with Cass is tense generally, and Sam is like being super shitty about it.
Yeah.
It obviously makes sense. He's soulless Sam. I'm not, but it's just, he's clearly,
yes.
He's leaning on something that does not exist, which is like a nice friendship.
Yeah.
Dean, who has wanted nothing to do with fucking Samuel,
yeah.
is like, we're blood.
I know, he really...
And he goes, you say blood matter, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm your grandson.
Yeah.
It's like, like, what?
Yeah, when is that suddenly
matter? Since when?
Yes.
And then he says, like, but I'll kill you if I have to. And that's supposed to land us like, Dean would never kill family. But it's like, he hasn't... We haven't had a moment this season. The only moment we've had with him and Samuel that has been kind of nice was when he was in the fucking 70s.
Yeah.
This season, we haven't gotten there. So for him to throw it back out there, the thing that's supposed to be like, Dean would never cross that line, is now like, yeah,
yeah
he doesn't
would.
Give a shit.
Yeah. yeah.
yeah.
That's also the Dean we know, which is like, I'll kill everything. Like,
well, yeah, yeah. I mean, they've been through enough. It is interesting, though, that, you know, we learn that Samuel has been promised by Crowley that he could bring Mary back.
Yes.
And that's why he keeps working for him and all this stuff. And he goes, it's my daughter. And Dean is like,
don't do this.
We've been
yeah.
doing this for so long. He goes, you, and Samuel's like, you hypocrites. And he's like, learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
We do this every goddamn time. It's our Achilles heel. It's how they get us because we're so fucking willing to just throw everything away.
Yeah, he's like,
to bring someone back from the dead.
This we've is our Achilles heel, and apparently it's yours too.
We've done it like four fucking times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please don't do this.
It's a good moment, actually, from Dean. And I do like that he's like, I know, isn't it dumb?
Yeah, yeah, let's stop doing this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to really work, and they cut away, and the boys are now
back. Yeah, Samuel just tells them to get out, and
yeah.
they leave, yeah.
The boys go back to the house.
Yes.
This is where...
So they're working at the desk...
Trying to, like, figure out
reading
what to do
lore
next.
Or whatever,
yeah.
and Cass is, like, hunched over watching this TV. We don't see what he's watching. And they're working, and... one of them says something shitty like, this would go a lot faster if you helped.
Yeah.
And Cass, what is it exactly that he says? He says something like, if she doesn't have any money, how is she going to pay the pizza delivery?
Yes.
There's like something.
He seems like they're enjoying it themselves, but why is he spanking her?
Yeah. 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 If he was truly interested in her, why does he continue to spank her?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's clearly just watching porn, very confused by it.
Which is very funny because Dean's just like, what the fuck? What? You don't watch porn with other guys.
And not I'm just like out in the room yes. while people are working.
Did you ever do that?
No.
I've definitely like been at a friend's house and
I think it's been
porn.
On. Yes. I don't think I've ever just like and now we'll sit down and
yes.
watch.
No,
porn.
No, no,
I don't
no,
think
no,
it's
no,
ever
no.
been like the activity, but I've been places where porn has been on.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is we had a porn DVD at one of my friend's house that we found that there was bloopers on.
Oh, I fucking love that.
It was the best DVD ever. We played those fucking bloopers so many times. So good. So eventually though, Samuel shows up.
Yeah.
And he tells them where he's been bringing creatures for Crowley.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes, it's here. It's like...
I've never been inside.
It's like, I've never been inside, but it's super, like, defended.
Yeah.
You'll never, you know, like, just watch out. And they're like, come with us. And he's like, I'm not suicidal. I'm soft. I'm not suicidal.
Yes, exactly.
And then he sees the TV and goes, I'm not soft anymore.
Now I'm neither.
No, it just switched.
And you walk by and you go, I'm both.
Yeah, well, I'm hard and suicidal. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me something, girl.
So then Sam, Dean, and Cass meet up with Meg and her demons.
Yeah.
So they can go to Crowley's
And Meg calls
prison.
Him Clarence again, which she was calling him last time, which I love.
God, it's so good. The sexual tension between those two.
I mean, it's palpable.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, I wish. Yeah. Anyways.
Easy.
I'm horny.
We get it, man.
So as they get ready to leave, Castiel tells Dean that he's not sure they should return Sam's soul to his body.
Yeah, and this is the first time that we've had this other perspective. He's like, even if we could get it back, it's been over a year that it's been trapped in the cage with both Lucifer and Michael. And the only thing that Lucifer and Michael can agree on is that Sam fucked them.
Yes.
So it's like for over a year, they've been torturing that soul. He goes, if I put that mangled thing down Sam's throat,
nice.
Who knows what it, yeah. Who knows? If I put this mangled thing down Sam's throat.
Or as we like to call it, his cum gutter.
Biblically accurate penis. It's like got a bunch of fucking dicks, 17 eyes.
Yeah, yeah. If I put this mangled thing in his cum gutter.
Jesus. Good Lord. But no, if I do that, it could cause him like unending pain. It could break his mind.
Like,
it could
all right,
be
fucking
so many things that are like worse than death.
You'd be like, fucking, all right, humble.
Yeah, I mean, if I put my dick inside you, I could break your mind. Write that down. Use that with the missus.
Oh. I like that you still brought out your phone. For me, I guess, yeah.
Oh, I wrote it down. Siri, reminder for Wednesday. Break wife's mind with that mangled thing.
Yeah.
7 p.m. It's a school night.
Yeah. Well, the minute that your child goes to bed.
Yeah. So she knows to stay in her room.
Jesus. Anyways, Dean basically says, like, but we don't know, right?
Yeah, he's like, we could. If let's get his soul back. And if it does that to him, we can fix that.
And he's just like,
which is not that different from the mentality of like, well, if I'll just sell my soul to save you.
Yes.
And then we'll deal with that.
We'll figure that out.
The thing he was just railing at Samuel about is essentially just in a slightly different context what he's proposing here.
Yeah.
We kind of like pan away and Cass is like, I think it's a bad idea or whatever. But they kind of pan away and Sam's just been standing there the whole time. Like, the geography of the room
is weird.
Eluded me because
I was like, you don't
he
notice
seems
he's
like
right
he's standing
there.
In their eye line.
Yes,
like not behind something. No. He's just like kind of
in the corner of the
in
room.
There. He's just there.
Yes, but it was a weird shot.
Yeah,
Castiel tells Dean that Sam may be broken if he gets his soul back, and Sam overhears this conversation.
Yeah,
using Samuel's information, they then go and find Crowley's prison.
Yeah, and there's like a moment outside the prison where. Or maybe he already did it. Sam gets the knife back from Meg. He's like, this is fucking mine. You took it and
Well, first he says, like, can I borrow this? And she goes, why? And he goes, just because.
And he kills one of the demons. And then he looks at the other ones and he goes, he just wanted to kill
us. You know,
he's off mission.
Yeah, he's clearly not working for it.
And Meg's kind of like,
And then she goes, give me the knife back. And he goes, no, you stole it from us.
Yeah,
I'm stealing it back.
Mine. Nah, 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 nah.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
No take backs.
So Castiel helps them break inside, where they see a variety of different monsters.
Yeah, in these cells or whatever. We see a djinn, and she's like, please let me out. Please, you gotta let me out. Please,
this is not the first time we've seen this djinn. So,
that specific one?
Yes.
Is she one of the ones that comes after them? Like, she one of like the
that's right.
children of that first djinn?
Yeah, the djinn that's locked up in Crowley's hideout. Who asks for help is the same djinn played by Laura Mennell that was after Sam and Dean and eventually escaped from them in season 6, episode 1, Exile on Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually they are.
They killed his neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually,
that was this season.
Isn't that crazy?
Christ, that felt like it was a lot longer ago.
I know. Eventually, they end up becoming pursued by hellhounds. Because they were basically, when they get in, they're like, this is really easy. Like, why is there nothing stopping us?
And then they hear
in?
Something and Meg is like, oh, the guards are here. And they're like, fuck, it's a hellhound. They, you know, like a couple of the demons get kind of clawed down. They bar this door.
And Meg's like, anyways, time for me to peace out.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to see you guys.
She says,
but maybe I'll buy you some, maybe I'll buy you some time while they're chewing on my meat suit.
Yeah.
And she tries to smoke out and she can't.
Yeah.
And
she just goes
easy. Listen, we all watched the episode.
Some of us longer than others.
It's
an hour and 20 minute episode.
Pause game. Pretty good. No, I mean, all right.
Choose your words.
Anyway, someone says, there's a spell. Looks like you're stuck in your meat suit. And then Sam is like, you're the only one that can see them.
Take the knife.
Here's the knife. She goes, I got a better idea or whatever.
Like, you can kill Crowley.
Yeah, she's like, you need this to kill Crowley. I'll hold them off. But then she turns and like makes out with Cass, and she's like fumbling in his coat.
Nice.
But then he like turns her around, puts her on the wall, and is like, and like makes out with her. And Dean is kind of like, and then they finish, and she goes, I don't know what that was about. He goes, I learned it from the pizza man,
which she doesn't know.
One of the all time great Castiel lines, also, by the way.
But also, from her perspective, like, she doesn't have context for that.
Yeah. But she's got Cass's angel blade.
Yes.
And he kind of clocks it, but then goes with the guys.
Yes.
And she's going to fight the hellhounds with the angel blade.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she fucking murders them.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Good.
Especially that last shot where they drops off the knife.
Like, yeah.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Good scene. Anyway. Dean and Sam and Cass run further into the facility, and then Cass gets like banished away because fucking Samuel put a stupid sigil there and he sold them out because he's a piece of shit.
Yes. And tells Samuel that once he escapes, they're going to find him.
Yeah.
And Dean is then taken to a room to be fed on.
Yeah. So they both get put in like cells for a bit. Yeah. And Samuel comes to the cell, and Dean's like, fuck you. And he's like, I just want you to know why I did it. He goes like, I could give a shit.
He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. The next time, he's like, I will get out of here. Believe you me.
His confidence in that moment. I mean, here's the thing. Mitch Pileggi and like Jensen Ackles acting off each other in this episode.
They're great.
It's so good. There was a moment, though, that I literally laughed out loud. So before this, where the first time that they get caught by him and they start going at each other.
Right.
And there's like this intense acting back and forth. And then they just like show a shot of just Sam sitting in the corner. And I bursted out laughing.
Yeah. Someone was like, we should remind people that Sam's here.
It's just him staring at them.
Like. Yeah, that's true. That's true, actually.
I bursted out laughing. And all I could think of is like, oh, maybe Jared will film the next episode.
Yeah.
It was a
good moment. It's true, though.
Those two are acting their fucking ass off.
Jensen and Mitch Pileggi are so good.
That moment when like Mitch is just like, it's my fucking daughter. Like, I miss my daughter. Like, and he says that line where it's just like, the difference between you and me is like, I don't know how to live without her. And
yeah.
I was just like, fuck.
Great line, actually.
Great line.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to butt fuck you in this prison.
Yeah, almost makes you forget the fucking...
Well, and the next thing, which is basically he puts him into the showers.
Oh, yeah.
And literally they throw the ghouls.
Oh, yeah, and they put two ghouls in there, and then they're like, fresh meat or whatever they say.
And Jensen, Dean says, I know Shawshank was a great movie, but can we skip the shower scene? Like, fucking stop.
Jesus.
So an interesting fact here. So they were thrown in. He was thrown in with two ghouls.
Yes.
According to the Supernatural official companion, season six.
But if they're Italian, they're gobble ghouls.
Well, they were going to eat them, so they are gobble ghouls.
Hey, where's the gobble ghoul? Wink at camera.
The ghouls were not originally planned in the first draft.
Okay.
The ghouls were originally going to be, as quoted, a big-ass Lovecraftian tentacle. So, story editor Brett Matthews explains, In the first draft, Dean gets thrown into this underground pit where there's just sand and a huge trough of water.
Like the fucking Watcher in the water from Lord of the Rings, like the Mines of Moria.
Yes. He starts digging and finds a bone, realizes that that bone is thrown into a monster pen, and this huge tentacle reaches up, grabs him, sucks him under. Nice.
I mean, listen, that's a cool idea, but like Supernatural never does that.
I know.
Every monster has been humanoid in season 6.
I know.
You're going to put a fucking kraken in there?
Sam busts out with a fire axe and chops the tentacle off and pulls him out, but Dean's leg is all messed up.
What does that mean? A fire axe? They got like fantasy weapons?
It was
or like a fireman's axe.
It says fire axe.
Like an axe on fire?
I assume it's probably a fireman's axe, but it does say a fire axe.
I was going to say, this feels like it's leapt fully into fantasy. Yeah.
They say it was going to be a very bold step into the realm of monster for Supernatural, but it was just too expensive.
Yeah, fair enough. That's why everyone's been fucking human.
Yes.
Yeah. Even the genies.
Yes. Like,
genies, gods, we couldn't get fucking like Kali and that. Like they were just people.
Yes,
at like a conference center in a hotel.
The most we've ever gotten was like the elephant.
Yeah, and even that was like
a split second,
and that was the budget.
Yes,
you know.
So Dean fights off the ghouls long enough for Sam to escape from his cell.
Yeah,
which is a really fucked up thing where he uses a devil's trap in his own blood.
I thought at first he like had put something like in his skin that he was trying to get out, like a piece of silver or like whatever. Yeah. Like I don't know why I thought that. I thought that's what he was doing, but he was just like he rips his arm open basically to use the blood to make a devil's trap. And when demons come in to get him, he's like,
he smiles at them and he's got blood all over his teeth.
Yeah. I mean, listen, say what you will about Soulless Sam. It's a baller move.
It is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Meg has been captured.
Yeah, and we see the return of the demon torture, like stretcher. Because Ruby was in there.
Yes,
it wasn't Meg last time, right? It was Ruby that was stuck in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got all of like the.
I don't know if this was the case last episode. I can't remember.
Ruby was also naked. In
the trap. It feels unnecessary.
I agree, though technically internally consistent.
Yes.
Yes.
And she
wasn't necessary last time. It didn't have to be that way, but yes.
Tortured by none other than Christian Campbell.
Yeah.
Who's real fucking horny about the way he's torturing. Again, episode is.
And also,
uncomfortably
this
horny.
Episode, I shouldn't even say implies, but like heavily implies.
Oh, yeah.
That he's like mutilating her.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, and like, she's making a line where it's just like you're putting it in all the wrong places. And
yeah, I mean, it's. Super fucked.
Yeah.
In a way that is like, yeah, I guess it shows the evil of demons, but like,
there's other ways.
We already did Lucifer. Yeah. Like, it's fine. Just torture normal.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
This episode goes hard in all of the wrong places.
Yeah.
What it really should do more of is the shit between Dean and Samuel.
Insane.
Or between Cass and someone.
Yeah. While Christian is distracted, Meg starts laughing, and Dean comes up behind Christian and fucking stabs him.
Yeah. Dean or Sam?
Dean.
Oh, Dean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With Ruby's knife, and he and Sam free Meg.
Yeah.
They then lure Crowley into the room by, like, pulling the fire alarm, and Crowley's just about to go kill the djinn.
Yeah, well, he was going to go, like, torture the djinn, and then he hears this alarm, and he's like, hold that thought. And he closes the cell, and he goes
turns off the alarm, turns around, and there's Dean.
Yeah.
And he realizes he's inside of a devil's trap.
Yeah.
Sam demands his soul back, and he's like, look, he's like, I can't.
Yeah, yeah, he says, I can't, and Meg is like, demon torturing.
Yeah. There's something going on. I don't know if they can normally just do that to each other.
Well, I mean, they got that demon sort of like telekinesis thing they do sometimes. She's doing it to him and it's working somehow. Yes. But eventually they just go like, okay, he says he can't. And he goes like,
all right, I'll kill you then. Yeah. He was Meg's like, can I kill him?
It took all my energy to get what of you out than I did. I'm not going back down there with them.
Yeah, that was...
Which is, it's funny because, like, that was 100% my point a few episodes ago. It just shows how much I've forgotten this season. And it's like, okay, no, they do come around to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, like, I should know better. Like, Supernatural's pretty good about, like...
answering the questions.
The thing you thought, we thought it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he basically says, he's just like, I mean, they also, like, got, like, the second they went in there, he... pulled him out.
Yeah, essentially.
Like they were probably still
because he's been because Sam's been out the whole time. Yeah,
it's like now they've just been chilling in there. It's their zone. Like,
yeah, he's like, not gonna happen. Can't. Won't.
Yes. And so he says, anyways, why do you want it back? He's like, your soul is fucked.
It's like
up.
That mangled thing.
Yeah. And Cassio goes, nice, right?
Yeah, because Cass is. Does Cass?
We don't
back
know
yet?
About that yet.
Is Cass back in the room yet? No.
No, not yet.
Okay.
So disgusted, Sam tells Meg to just go ahead and kill Crowley.
Yeah, yeah. And she goes, you'll let me back out, right? And they go, yeah.
Yeah.
She goes in and Crowley's been playing possum and he very quickly
trips her,
gets the upper hand, gets the knife.
Breaks the trap.
Throws it into the trap and breaks it. And like flings the guys against the wall. And...
Before he can retaliate, however, that's when Castiel appears.
Yeah.
Holding a bag of bones that he says belongs to Crowley.
Yeah.
Crowley makes a reference to the fact that he hasn't seen Castiel all season, which I love.
Yeah. It's a very funny line.
Yes. As the two have not appeared in the same room since season 5's 2 Minutes to Midnight, yeah. This might be an intentional breach of the fourth wall, or Crowley might just be talking about the actual yearly season, but more likely given the wording,
I mean,
the former
that
is probably more probable.
That is what's happening, but it's a very yes. obvious, very transparent.
It's so cute. I love
you
it.
You know, wink to the camera kind love of thing.
It. He asks Crowley.
Yeah, it is funny. I haven't seen you all season. This
such
is
a great
very
line.
Good line. Yeah.
He asks Crowley if he can restore Sam's soul. And when Crowley admits that he can't, Castiel then just burns his bones without hesitation.
Yeah, he's like, I got your bones. You didn't hide them as well as you thought you did. And he burns the bones and Crowley fucking
disappears.
Burns up. And it fucking dies. And the knife falls down. And...
They look over and Meg has fleed.
Yeah.
So. Little piece of information here. The actress who plays Meg, Rachel Milner, suffered a back injury while filming a stunt gone wrong in this episode.
Oh.
She had to take medication for the injury, which caused her face and body to become swollen. This is noticeable when the character returns for season 7.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, outside
back injury. Those are brutal, too.
Yes. Outside Crowley's prison, Dean thanks Castiel for his help. I love it now. Because Dean still thinks, hey, we're all buddies. Right?
Well, yeah. And also Dean is like, Cass already told him, like, I do fucking everything for you. And Dean is like, yeah, that's right. Like, we're friends. And he's, Crowley had said, like, I heard it's not going well for you up in heaven and stuff like that when Cass first shows up. And Crowley was right. It's not going well. And Dean's like, can we help? And he goes, no. He goes, because, like, we're friends. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. I love it because they're just not acknowledging the conversation that like Sam and Castiel
yeah.
had.
Yeah.
And Castiel even says, he's like, I'd rather be on Earth.
Yeah.
He then tells Sam
that... I miss you. I miss your scent.
Yeah.
Pizza
man.
Yeah.
He then tells Sam that they'll find another way to get his soul back before leaving to take care of the monsters still in the prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam is like, if you really want to help,
go get
them. We can't release them. And Cass is like, all right, I'll go
kill all of these.
Slaughter all these fucking. Anything for you, Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, so fucked up. Soul of Sam's so fucked.
Yep. Dean tries to reassure Sam too, but Sam tells him that he doesn't even think he wants his soul back anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because he's like, I've heard you the whole time. Yeah. I know. I heard about Cass's mangled thing.
So.
It is time,
yes,
of course, for the fuck you Samuel Campbell who
memorial.
Was the memorial who was the biggest asshole this episode segment. It's got to be the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, Samuel Campbell.
I was gonna say it's Sam.
Oh, interesting. I was saying it's Samuel because
he betrayed them. Yeah,
he betrayed them. Like, not just like a little. Like, deliberately was like, go to this place. Like, went and hid, kind of thing.
But Sam
he was like, yeah, Dean's gonna die. I guess that's fine. Like, it wasn't just like betrayed to that they don't succeed. It was like, nah, they're captured. They're gonna die. I did that to my grandsons. It's me, Samuel. And even Dean says in the episode, like, what would Mary think if you get her back? What's she going to think about this?
Yes.
You know?
Remember your kids?
Yeah.
What Sam fucking says to Cass, like...
I mean, very compelling.
It's...
You know what? You're probably right. I was ahead of myself.
Samuel...
I came in ready to give it to the man himself.
The thing with Samuel is, like, I get it, like, what you do for love. Sam's just being an asshole.
Well, I won't do that.
Oh, my God. So I went to a queer burlesque show last weekend.
Nice.
And there was a woman who did, like, male drag.
Oh, fun.
Which was really fun. Yeah. But her whole... sort of scene was to that song.
Oh, fuck yeah. 12-minute scene.
Yes. And her whole thing was, it was like, it started with like a phone call that was just like, hey, babe, like, I know it's like minus 40 out, but like, and it's snowing, but like, why don't you like,
no, I would do.
Yeah. And so then it's about her like putting on all of these layers to go like, fuck this lady. And then she has like a giant cardboard cutout snowmobile that she then rides around the entire audience.
That's really fun.
While that song is going.
That's fun as hell.
It was the fucking best thing I had seen all night.
And now you finally love me, love.
No, I just really liked that show.
He loves me, love. Yeah, fuck,
there was
yeah.
also the most sexually charged hula hoop thing that I'd ever seen.
Your Honor.
I was not the only one who felt that way. I was just like, Jesus. But yes, so that's the end of this episode. Time for our reviews.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, geez Louise. here's the thing. A decent amount of this episode is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's neat to see Meg again. It's neat to have like them team up and Cass back in the episode. And they kind of... What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad? They go into this, like, you know, like, I love that kind of shit. That's really fun to me. We got hellhounds. We see monsters, you know, Crowley's there. Crowley gets fucking killed. Cass shows up and kills Crowley. Meg disappears. You know, Samuel betrays them. Like, stuff happens in this episode. In some dialogue scenes, like that Sam and Cass scene is like, holy shit. And then anything with Dean and Samuel is like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then anything with Cass and Meg is like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like this episode has a lot of like cool moments, interesting dynamics, some well-performed scenes, some interesting, writing. And then it also just has this kind of lazy, like, we'll just, you know, like, go here, look there, do this, go there, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
That the shit to get you there is fucking tedious.
Yeah.
And then we have the, you know, the problematic element that we talked about. Also the other, like, the torture thing. Like, this episode is like, a bunch of cool stuff is happening. We better ruin it with homophobia and violence against women.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and I'm not saying that, like, Meg couldn't get tortured, but like, it's so graphic.
Yeah, unnecessarily.
It's like, you know, I know we aren't seeing it, but like, it's very graphic.
And there's, they
like,
say enough lines.
And there's sounds. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's fucked. Like, it's a lot. Not to say that you should do it ever, but if you're going to do it with any, it should be Alistair, right? He was the torture guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, fine, whatever.
Not just this random guy just because he looks like
a dude. Does feel like someone was like, we need to edgelord this up a bit.
Yeah.
And that bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of lore stuff in there. I don't know. I guess I'd give this like 3.25 pizza men.
Yeah. I think this episode is, there's a few great lines in this. Funny lines, well, like, delivered, like, performances.
Yeah.
And, like, some decent lines between the guys. Like,
totally.
There's some really great moments.
Mm-hmm.
Largely poorly written episode.
Yeah.
Some decent, like, dialogue, but like,
well,
largely...
and I think a lot of it is just say by how good the performances are.
Yes, yes. I mean, yeah, you get Mitch Pileggi and like Jensen Ackles playing off each other.
Because if you really think about it, a lot of that dialogue is like, can we do this? No, we can't. Why not? I don't know. Let's try. Yes. It's like pretty. Like,
nothing happens in this episode. We don't get any advancements in the like overarching story.
Yeah.
We like.
It is a weird, it's a sort of anticlimactic kind of arc for Crowley.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
That's like, what I mean. Like, yeah. It's a weirdly like. Simple and a death for him.
Yeah.
And I think that it's it for me, the whole episode is just like playing off of like, this is a prison and we're breaking in, but it's like we see like three monsters maybe, and like we just see quick shots of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't get enough of a sense of the variety of monsters, yeah. Which I know is hard because they all look like
humans. Yeah.
But I kind of wish maybe before this episode happened, there had been an episode set in, maybe a Crowley episode.
You know what would have...
To get, like, how does he have to torture different monsters? Yes. Or, you know, like, to see the scope of his operation.
There also should be more demons in this, because the problem is, it's like, there's two guys and Crowley who
run
this
and
prison.
I guess maybe the idea is that that's part of the lure. Like, that's part of the trap.
I guess,
Samuel
but it is
sets.
Still his, it is the place that he's been doing this.
But I guess because he's the king of hell and he has hellhounds, he's like, that's good enough.
Like, what would have made this episode 10 times better is if we had just gotten, like, a chunk of the episode that was the perspective of the monsters inside of the prison.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what is it like to be a prisoner in this fucking thing? Like,
kind of like in the episode, The Haunted House with the Ghost Facers, yes. Where, like, Sam and Dean are there, but yes. It's not their episode. It would have been neat to have an episode from the perspective of these inmates, and it's like someone just comes back from being tortured and they go like, oh my God, blah, 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 like whatever, like they're chatting through the cells and then Sam and Dean and Cass kind of run through and the rest play. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I agree. Think for me, it's like at the end of the day, it's like, what is the episode? They walk to a prison. They walk inside the prison.
Yeah.
Crowley dies. The episode's over.
Like, yeah.
It's some fucking like... Two Towers, like, walking shit. Like,
let's not shit on Two Towers. A great movie. You piece of shit.
But it is. It's largely, like, nothing happens.
I'll take you to Isengard.
Yeah, all right. I think that, for me, it's largely, like, yeah, not great performances. Unexciting.
Wait, not great performances? I thought we were saying that they were good performances.
There was some
just
good performances in there,
was
but
bad.
Like otherwise, it's sort of just like nothing happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, less about bad performance, but more of just like uninteresting.
Not a lot of act, yeah. Or rather, not a lot of like narrative action.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. There's like a couple good dialogue scenes, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
The pizza thing is funny, and it is a.
It's funny because that's such like an indelible moment in an episode that I was like.
Yes. Exactly.
I really expected that moment to be in a better episode.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will I'll give this just straight up 3 out of a possible 5 getting pushed up against the wall by Meg.
Oh God. I don't know if I can handle 3 of 5 of those.
So those are our reviews. But before we go, we've got a note from a fellow hunter.
Hey.
From Lexi, who says, hello, my name is Lexi, and I'm a new listener to Ghost Facers.
Sorry.
For like all of it.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah. Generally.
I started binge listening not too long ago, and I'm already on season 5.
Holy shit.
I identify as a lore whore, sandwich slut, and I love international titles as well. I really gotta come up with a name for that.
Yeah. Or
international tramps.
No, I'm trying to think of like what would be the aggressive nickname for this season's segment.
I guess
it'd be a. Nope, never mind. Can't say that. Anyway, keep reading.
Okay. The reason I write to you today is to weigh in on the bagged milk thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, tell me you're a bag hag, baby.
Oh Jesus. Stop trying to come up with phrases. I live in Southern California and they switched us all from milk carton to bagged drinks in the middle of my sophomore year.
Okay.
Honestly, all of the cafeteria kids were confused, upset, and making all the inappropriate jokes about a bag of milk being a boob. I mean, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
And how to drink it. Nice.
Nice.
There was a straw attached to the bag.
Yeah.
With the instructions of how to jab it.
Well, yeah, you got to put your hand on because you got to get the bubble to one side.
Properly. But with so many instances, the straw would pierce the back and the ensuing panic and the mess, we ended up just nipping off the corner and sucking.
I mean, first of all, A, amateurs. B, nice.
I mean, the amount of times I've done that with like large bag milk as a kid.
Well, you're supposed to cut the corner up, but you just suck on the bag?
No, I just nipped off the bag with my teeth and then poured it
Jesus.
Out.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What did the bag say? Get over here, big boy. What the fuck are you being so aggressive with the bag milk for?
That's for me, not for it.
Good Lord.
So, hope that answered some questions and maybe left you with more.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have more.
Thank you for letting me enjoy one of my favorite shows in a new hilarious way. Keep doing you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lexi. If you'd like to continue this discussion on our Discord.
Yes.
Yeah, you can go to our Patreon.
I was waiting for the setup.
That's usually it. That's all you I do it to say.
Oh, no, you say you go to the, oh, I see.
Yep. And then you say, yeah.
Anyway. Go to patreon.com/ghostfacers. For only $1 a month, you get access to Angel Radio. It's our community Discord server.
Yeah.
It's a very fun time in there with your fellow lore whores, sandwich sluts, and name redacted
bag
from this
hags.
Season. Yeah, bag hags. Yeah.
For those who are right and those who are horny.
Yep. Yep.
That's the two things you can be.
The best two things to be.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ideally, you'd be one and right. But.
And truly, I mean, in life, you can only be one or the other.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. I don't think I want to be horny and wrong.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's certainly not what I was implying. I just meant that it impairs the reason.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
If you want to send us a note like Lexi, all you can do is go to your email and...
go to your email. You're going to want to hit compose in the subject line. Put whatever the email's about, of course. In the body of the email, write the
thing that
substance of the message you want to send to us. And hey, have a little look at that two field up there. Richard, where can they send that?
They can write in the two field, ghostfacerspodcast@gmail.com.
And don't forget, when you're finished, hit send.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise it just goes to your drafts.
You don't need to CC.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. You could BCC if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean.
You just want.
Yeah, if you don't want us to know where it came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, you can have a bit of this conversation on our social media.
Yeah, we're at GhostFacersPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and wherever you get it every single week, then automatically goes into that feed. While you're there, why don't you give us a 5-star review and we'll read that in a future episode. Also, we've got merch.
Buy our merch
at GhostFacersPodcastStore.com.
That's right.
Also,
bag hag shirts coming soon.
Also, there's another podcast.
Yeah, the Dr. DC podcast. If you like how we talk about monsters and stuff like that over here, you might enjoy how we talk about superheroes and the lore of like DC Comics and stuff like that over there.
You also just
specifically
might...
how I talk about them.
All right.
I'm the expert.
Yeah, and the only one there. But maybe you want to tune in for the 12 days leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, every year we do an insane thing where we record 12 episodes in one day and then release them daily in the lead up to Christmas.
We usually do something stupid while we
usually do
them.
Some sort of escalating stupid challenge with it. It has been drinking in the past. We did spicy wings.
I don't know what we're
doing. I think
doing.
One time we just did dry nuggets.
Oh, yeah. That
we just
bad.
Did like a number of dry nuggets.
Yeah, where we increased every episode.
Each episode we ate that many nuggets.
That
was really like one,
bad.
Two, three,
that
four.
That might have been the worst
that
one.
That was definitely the worst one. Yeah. I think it's the only one we didn't finish.
Yeah. Wow.
So we got to 10. We at that point, we had eaten like 55 nuggets.
Yeah.
They were dry. Yeah. They had been cooked hours earlier. It was like really bad.
Yeah.
It was gross.
So I graciously bowed out for you.
Yeah, I allowed
that's
you
That's it
to.
For this week. Say goodbye, bitch.
Jerk.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!